Hello and happy new year when it gets there. Welcome to Finance Conversations. This is the 44th episode of the Merging Life and Money Show, the last one for the year 2021, and I am delighted to be here today. For those of you who do not know me, I am your host, Marie-Jo César. I help professional women bridge the gap between life and money by acquiring and applying the relevant financial skills and knowledge they need to take control of their finances, manage their money from the inside out, and understand that they can live their best life with the money they have. Thank you for joining in today. If you are watching the replay, make sure to type hashtag replay in the chat and leave me some comments and questions. Welcome, welcome, and welcome. I come to you live every Thursday at 5 p.m. Pacific Standard Time to share valuable information about how to achieve financial wellness and live your life with means and meaning. 2021 is just about done. And usually around this time, we tend to look back in order to plan ahead. So today, we are going to talk about one aspect of your financial plan that you tend to ignore year after year until the unavoidable raises its ugly head, and that is estate planning. So to address this very important topic, I have with me Anne-Michelle Hart, an estate planning attorney from Washington State. And Michelle's passion is to help families and small businesses for the future by securing their estate plan today. She makes the confusing understandable and explains the financial risks of not creating an estate plan. Welcome, Anne-Michelle, to the Merging Life and Money Show, and welcome, followers and listeners. Thank you for joining in today. So grab a pen and a notebook, as you would want to take some notes to discuss them further with family, friends, colleagues, whomever you're going to be gathering with this coming weekend, because it is about sharing values that could benefit others. So let me start by saying that if you do not have an estate plan in place, do not let 2022 end without one. As I mentioned in the 10th episode of the Merging Life and Money Show a few months back, estate planning is an important pillar of your financial plan. It is important. A challenging task that most of us are justifiably hesitant to do because it is complex, it is time consuming, and also it implies having to confront potential family conflicts and death. So to help us demystify the whole concept of estate planning, and Michelle will focus on three things you must have in your estate plan, and they are a plan for yourself, a plan for your minor children, and a plan for your digital assets. So before turning it over to Anne-Michelle, I will say that estate planning is not just for the wealthy and the very old, okay? You have an estate, whether you realize it or not, okay? The questions are, do you have a planned estate? Or are your financial and personal interests organized so that upon your death, your wishes are met with a minimum of inconvenience and expenses to your estate and family? And the last one would be, will you leave it to the state you live in to dictate the distribution of your assets because you failed to plan? That's your call. As I noted before, estate planning could be convoluted. However, the benefits of planning far outweigh any potential difficulties. So Anne-Michelle, tell us more about the importance of having an estate plan as it relates to oneself.
Everybody needs to have a plan in place because an estate plan doesn't just talk about what happens after your death. 3/4 of the documents have to do what happens when you're living. What happens if you are incapacitated? What happens if you can no longer make decisions for yourself? We have, in addition to the will and trust, which decides what happens after your death, there's a financial power of attorney, a healthcare power of attorney, advanced healthcare directive, and a HIPAA authorization that allows your family to step in and do things that you would have normally done if you're incapacitated and can't make those decisions on yourself. Now, in doing that, you allow yourself to look forward and see where you might have a hole in your ability. You get to dictate what you want to have happen when that stage gets there so that your family doesn't have to decide and then guess whether they made the right decision or not. You lay out a pathwork for where you want to go if that happens and your family just follows along. That leaves them with less guilt and less questioning. Did they do the right thing? Did they do what you wanted?
Very, very interesting. So in addition to what you said, I'm going to also add that an estate plan can also set forth the kind of funeral arrangements.
Correct.
You like, right? And how correct. Related expenses are to be paid, because clearly it costs.
Yes, it
whichever, whichever way that you look at it. So moving on to our next point, tell us about the importance of having an estate plan as it relates to minor children.
If you have children, God forbid something should happen to you. If you're a single parent, you're the only parent. There have been cases where couples have been deceased with or without their kids present and leaving their kids orphaned. The most important thing for you to do is decide ahead of time, should that happen, who's going to be taking your children? You need to name a preferred person and then hopefully a backup. I've seen people do a backup to a backup, so a primary, a secondary, and a tertiary person. The reason you want to do this is because you want to make sure that somebody knows who's going to raise your children, how they're going to raise your children, what kind of medical issues your children have, if they have any, what kind of medications they've been taking. You also want to know, leave instructions for what their educational history backward is, if they have special needs as far as special ed or special training or catch-up classes. You also want to talk about what your expectations are for their educational future. And then you want to talk about what you expect for their cultural, spiritual, physical activities are going to be if you aren't present. You want to make sure that if you are part of a culture that recognizes the importance of involvement in that culture, that you pass that along to your children. You also want to make financial arrangements, if any, so that your guardian of your children has the means to take care of your children. And then, of course, you want to think about what kind of keepsakes and what kind of direct messages you might want to leave for your children if you're not here.
Wow, that's a lot of stuff that are not on the top of mind, I should say. I recall when I first got married, it was important to me because I had moved to a different country. And one of the first things that I did was a will. And one thing, and I happened to have 2 kids. And in my will, I had to specify that whomever guardian, the person that I had chosen, and I made a very intentional decision. It was a friend of mine, my university buddy, single, and my wish was that my kids are not to be separated. So I had to make sure that whomever was going to be the guardian, had the means and was a right fit to have not just one of my children, but both of them.
Yeah.
So I totally understand what you mean by by saying what you just said. So basically, you know, what you said is in deciding who will care for your child in the event of your death, you need to identify that person, and that person has to be identified in your will.
Yes.
I would also say, as you well said, that it's always a good idea to name somebody else.
Just in case. You never know.
In case. You know, make sure that you have an alternate guardian there. And in my case, at the time, my sister was, you know, she was single. And so I knew that if something were to happen, she would have been able to step in if my original guardian was not able to, or, you know, people do die and all kind of stuff. And we are not always good at updating things. Yeah, but that's so, so very important, because we do it every day. We're dealing with kids and their challenges. And, you know, we don't really even think that, oh my God, if something were to happen, you know, what is it going to be? And last but not least, let us talk about digital assets. We had a whole show on this the last months actually, and it's so, so very important to understand how that works, because we are living, after all, in a digital world. So tell us, Anne-Michelle, how should digital assets be handled in one's estate plan?
Well, you want your family to be able to access all of the digital formats that you have. And I'm going to break them out into two different sets. There are what we call images, and there are what we call documents. Mm-hmm. So the image side, you're going to look at storing any photos, any videos, any audio that you have that you want to leave to your family. You want to make sure you have a cloud digital storage that your family can access, where you can upload all of those. The second kind of digital storage is for the documents and your login information. So kinds of things that you can look at putting in this digital type of storage is birth certificates, marriage certificates, divorce decrees, death decrees, deeds to your house, mortgage insurance, your estate plan documents, of course. Just make sure you keep the original will. You have to turn the original will in as a paper copy to the court. So you can't just get rid of that one completely. You'll be in a world of hurt if you do. You'll also need to make sure that all your bills are uploaded. All of your income sources are loaded, like your retirement accounts, your insurance, life insurance. When we get into things like cryptocurrency accounts, you want to make sure that you have the ability of passing the passcode and the login to somebody. If you do not do that correctly, your family members will never access that, and the money will be gone. And don't forget to add access to your email accounts and maybe your donations and your social media accounts. If you have a business, remember, you're going to double that, because you need all those access points for all of your business.
Wow. You know, this is supposed to be a lot simpler, right?
And remember, all of this I put together in a document for you. So there'll be a download that you can hand out and take notes and take to your attorney if you don't hire me. If you're not in Washington, you can't. Yeah. So you can certainly take this with you to an attorney and do the checklist and say, these are all the things I have to take care of.
Yeah. And that's so, so very important, because when it comes to that digital asset, I mean, we don't really realize, right, what it is and what it isn't. And so I just want to do a little quick recap of kind of what you just said. So you would say that those digital assets include your social media accounts, your digital photos, you know, all the little selfies and stuff that you take on your mm-hmm. phone, emails, online financial accounts,
yep,
software, mm-hmm. copyright licenses. Mm-hmm. And many other type of less than tangible goods and services, right?
Correct.
I mean, you talk about, this could be like your PayPal account, mm-hmm. your frequent flyer miles. I mean,
yes,
you know, all that kind of good stuff. And all, and I'm saying that to say that all digital assets that you own and that are transferable should be included in your estate when you die, right?
Yeah. And remember, most of that's coming to your email as a notification. So if your family doesn't have access to your email, they don't have access to that either.
True. True that. And you can use your will to determine who will get such digital assets.
Correct. Right?
So transferable digital assets certainly include anything that is worth money.
Correct.
Right. And now we're talking about NFTs, right?
Right. Those two.
They also include things that may have a more sentimental value, as you well said, right?
Correct.
So if you own it and you can transfer it, you should be able to include it in your will.
Yes.
Okay. So did I kind of capture that in an accurate fashion?
You did.
Good. So I'm going to wind down a little bit and sum it up, because the whole point here is that we want to take it step by step, right?
Yes.
So we talked about the importance of having an estate plan that protects yourself.
Yes.
Right. So, because if you have whatever you have, you want to make sure that it is passed down properly at death. But an estate plan does not just protect your assets when you die. You know, it's also important for, you know, if you are incapacitated, if you, mm-hmm. I mean, or your wishes when you are sick, and if something were to happen to you, you can't talk, you can't express yourself.
Correct.
So you have to have the necessary documentation in place so that if not, I've seen things like this create a lot of division in families where one kid, you know, the person is on life support, mm-hmm. one kid figured out, okay, you know what, let's take her out of her misery. The other kid said, no way, you know, miracle happens. So you want to make sure that, yes. You know, all of that stuff is documented before, as I said, the, you know, unavoidable happens.
Yes.
So I'm going to leave the audience with these last thoughts, right? Millions of Americans spend excessive amounts of time worrying about their income, tax returns every year. And death is one of the areas that few people talk about.
Yes.
Much less take time to prepare for. However, the undeniable fact remains that, yes, you will die. And yes, you need to start thinking about it sooner rather than later.
Correct.
In fact, now is a perfect time to begin forming your estate plan. So remember that estate planning is the term given to the process people go through to prepare for the legal, the financial, and the personal realities of their death, right? So while an estate plan is a collection of tools specifically designed to address those kinds of issues, estate planning is not a single topic, okay? Estate planning is not just a will, but rather a collection.
Way more than that.
Yeah, exactly. A collection of topics that involve the practical realities surrounding death and mortality.
Correct.
Right? So estate planning is one of the most important steps any person can take while alive to make sure that their final property and health care wishes are honored, and that loved ones are provided with are provided for in their absence.
Correct.
Okay? Thinking about the minor kids.
Yes.
Regardless of your age or personal circumstances, creating an estate plan is an essential task for every adult. Every adult should think hard and long at having an estate plan. A little bit more about digital assets that we just talked about. And I'm kind of talking about it because we don't even think about it. And it's so very important. I mean, we're living in a digital world. So these are digital assets that cannot, I should say, there are digital assets that cannot be transferred, right? Through a will, as we mentioned.
Yeah. And like, like Facebook, you can choose how you want your Facebook page. You can either have it taken down after your death or you can have it memorialized. Right. So those are things you want to think about before your family has to make that decision, because they don't know what you want.
Totally. So practically speaking, most of the digital asset won't pass through your will, period. Okay. As you well said, because you don't have the right to transfer them, because, right. You know, they
are. You can transfer access, but you can't transfer the ownership.
Correct. So yeah. Even if they have a real value to you or to your family, if you do not owe them and have the right to transfer them at death, you cannot pass them through your will.
Correct.
So, yeah, a clear example of this is your email and social media accounts, as you well said, and you do not own those accounts.
Right.
Because you just have a license to use them.
Yes.
Right? And your ability to transfer your account to another person is clearly limited by the term and condition of that you agree to when you open up that account.
Correct.
And lastly, I want everybody to understand what an estate plan is and what specific issues your plan might address, right? So you got to understand that first, mm-hmm. And this is the first step. So again, do not let 2022 end without you taking the first step of putting together an estate plan. So Anne Michelle, I want to thank you for your awesome contribution today. And I'm really looking forward to having you next month. On the 27th of January. So for the audience out here, Anne Michelle is a regular contributor. She comes on every last Thursday of the month and share the stage with me, and we discuss anything that is any information that relates to the basics of estate planning. Okay.
I'm happy to be here, and I'm happy to come back next month.
Great. And I'm always happy to have you. So I forget, give the audience your contact information, and I'm also going to reveal your banner here. So,
sure, you bet. Mm-hmm. So my law firm is Hart Law, all run together, HartLawPLLC. Mm-hmm. You can find me at HartLawPLLC@gmail.com if you want to email me. If you want to locate me online, it's HartLawPLLCEstatePlan.com. My phone number is 206-641-6014. And if you need to fax me, my fax number is 206-641-7667.
Good. I just realized that I was talking and you couldn't see me. thank you again. And you know that I like to end the show with a quote. And today I'm going to quote a fact. if you don't have an estate plan, the state has one for you. Okay.
Yes.
So take control today. Good. So for more information about how to achieve financial wellness from the inside out and live a purposeful life with the money you have, join me next week, Thursday, at 5 p.m. Pacific Time, 6 p.m. Mountain Time, 8 p.m. Eastern Time, 9 p.m. Atlantic Standard Time for my Bermudian pips, 10 a.m. Friday, Brisbane, Australia Time for my Australian friends. Thank you for being here today on the Merging Life and Money Show. I am your host, Marie-Jo César. Happy New Year, and I will be back next week. Until then, continue merging life and money. Bye for now.